Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16 tonight. Amen. Luke chapter 16 tonight. A very familiar passage of Scripture, portion of Scripture here we're going to be looking at tonight. Now, if you've been saved very much at all, if you've read your Bible very much at all, you've come across this passage of Scripture. And this is one of those passages of Scripture that when the pastor or preacher begins to call it out, you kind of get a preconceived idea of exactly where he's going. And if you've done that tonight here in Luke chapter 16, you're probably right. Amen. Luke chapter number 16, we're going to begin reading in verse number 19. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto him from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I want to simply preach on the subject of hell tonight. Somebody said, Brother Allen, why are you moving your family to the state of Utah? Why are you taking your family out in the midst of a state that is seemingly controlled by that religion? Brother Davis, why are you doing that? And the simple answer is this. Hey, listen, there's a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. Men, women, boys and girls are dying and going to this place called hell every day. Hey, listen, our children sing a song. Hey, listen, it says, how can I say that I love him if I don't reply? Here am I. Amen? Here am I. Listen to me tonight. Hey, listen, there is a hell. Hell is a real place. Men, women, boys, and girls are dying every day and they're going there to this place called hell. We've got the answer. Amen? The answer is Christ. Amen. The answer is Christ. We've got that answer and God's called our family to take it to them. I want to simply preach on the subject of hell tonight for just a few moments. But first, let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, tonight for your grace, for your mercy. God, we thank you, Lord, tonight, God, for allowing us the opportunity, Lord, to stand before your people. God, we just ask you, Lord, tonight that you would help us. God, speak through us tonight. God, use us for your honor, for your glory. Father, I ask you, Lord, tonight, God, that you would open our ears. Let us hear the word of God. Lord, open our eyes. Let us see ourselves like you see us. God, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd open our hearts. God, help us, Lord, to be receptive to your word. Father, Lord, I ask you once again, Lord, that you'd help us to not be hearers only. God, not to be receptive only. God, help us to be doers also. Father, above all this, God, I pray that you would get the glory out of everything that's said and done this evening. Father, we sure will thank you. In Jesus' name, for his sake, we ask and pray. Amen and amen. I want to give you about four things by way of introduction here tonight before we actually get into the message. Pastor, what time y'all normally get out of here on Sunday evening? Amen. That's dangerous. And my wife said, very. Amen. I'll give you about four or five things real quick here, but before we get into the message tonight. Number one, anytime you deal with the subject of hell, hell is always a difficult subject to deal with. If you're a Sunday school teacher, as a pastor, a preacher, anytime you deal with the subject of hell, it is a difficult subject to deal with.
It just seems like every time you begin to study, every time you begin to preach and get prepared to preach, it just seems like all hell seems to come against you whenever you get ready to preach on the subject of hell. Why is that, Brother Davis? Well, I believe it's pretty simple tonight. It's because of this. Hey, listen, the devil tries to fight it. Amen? The devil tries to fight it. He don't like the man of God sounding out the warning about this place called hell. He don't like the Sunday school teacher telling folks, hey, listen, there is a hell and you don't have to go. Hey, listen, the devil does not like it and he does everything he can to try to fight it. Number one, it's a difficult subject to deal with. Not only is it a difficult subject, but it's a dodge subject in a lot of pulpits and a lot of areas. We've got folks don't want to deal with it. Matter of fact, let me just go ahead and say this. I got saved 16 years old, Green Street Baptist Church in High Point, North Carolina. I was saved as a 16-year-old boy. Living in the Bible Belt, amen? Living in the Bible Belt, 16 years old. Man, I'm going to share just a little bit of my testimony with you tonight. I'm not doing this to give the devil any glory, but at 16 years old, I was traveling with a heavy metal rock band. I was involved in witchcraft and wizardry myself. Hey, listen, and God came to where I was in Green Street Baptist, High Point, May of 1991, and saved an old wretched sinner like me. Amen. Hey, listen, but I was 22 years old before I ever heard a message on hell. 22 years old. In the Bible Belt. Man, I'm not talking about a third world country. I'm talking about in the a place where there's more preaching churches than anywhere else in the world. 22 years old before I ever heard a message on hell. Friend, I'm here to tell you, hey, listen, it's a dodge subject in a lot of pulpits. Let me just simply say this tonight, and I wouldn't say it if I knew your pastor didn't do it. Hey, listen, if you've got a preacher, you've got Sunday school teachers that preach on hell and preach against that place called hell because men and women and boys and girls are going there. Hey, listen, and they're going there completely outside of the will of God. Hey, listen, if you've got a man of God that does that, you better thank God for him because everybody ain't got it. Amen. Everybody ain't got it. It's a dodge subject in a lot of pulpits in this day. Matter of fact, I can probably count. I'm 45 years old now. I'm probably count on one hand how many times I've ever heard a message on hell. 45 years old. First time I was 22. We're looking at what now? 23 years. 23, I'm probably count on one hand how many messages on hell I've ever heard. Listen, you better thank God for a man of God that'll preach the whole counsel of God, as the Apostle Paul said over in Acts chapter 20, verse number 27. Not only is it a difficult subject to deal with and a dodge subject in a lot of pulpits, but it's a disputed subject. Did you know that right here in the United States of America, a lot of folks don't even believe that there is a place called hell? About 70% of the people right here in the United States of America do not believe in a literal place called hell. Let me put that into perspective for you tonight. That's 7 out of 10 people do not believe in a literal place called hell. Now, on the flip side of that, let's just look at that real quick. About 67% of the people right here in the United States of America believe that there is a place called heaven. Now, friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, listen, you can't have it both ways. Either it's all true or none of it is. Amen? Hey, listen, I'm here to tell you tonight, hey, listen, there is a place called hell. I'm going to deal with some of that here in just a little bit, but did you know that right here in the United States of America, about 50% of Americans believe that there's many ways to heaven? 41% of Americans believe that people who have never heard of Jesus can still get into heaven. About 30% of Americans believe that you'll still have a chance to follow God after you die. Listen to me now. I believe Jesus covered all three of those right there in John chapter 14 when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know what? He even tagged that verse of scripture right there. He put a comma right there, and on the end of that verse, he made this statement. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, listen, there's only one way to heaven. Hey, listen, there's many roads to hell, but there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Through the precious blood of Christ. Hey, listen, it's a disputed subject. 1982, they did a poll. 33% of Baptists did not believe in the literal existence of Satan. did not believe in the literal, physical, bodily resurrection of Christ. As in 1982, you know what that tells me? 33%, man, that tells me that one-third of Baptists was lost in 1982. They took the same poll again in 1992, 10 years later. You know what the numbers show? The exact same thing. 33% of Baptists did not believe in a literal existence of Satan and did not believe in the literal, physical, bodily resurrection of Christ. And they took this same poll again in 2018. You know what the numbers showed in 2018? The exact same thing. 33% of Baptists. You know what that tells me? In 2018, we're not too far removed from 2018. One-third of the Baptist church on this one issue alone is lost. That's just this one issue. Just this one issue. Listen to me. Listen to me. Y'all know why the church was instituted. So we could come in and get trained. So we could train men, women, boys, and girls to go back out and reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Christ, right? Since when did the church become the mission field? It's a difficult subject to deal with. Satan tries to fight it. It's a dodge subject in a lot of pulpits. While it is a disputed subject, let me just say this, it's a definite subject. See, this was not a doctrine that was given to us by the Apostle Peter. It wasn't a doctrine that was given to us by the Apostle Paul. This was a doctrine, hey listen, that was given to us by none other than Jesus Christ Himself. As a matter of fact, if you study it out in the New Testament, you'll find that there are over 162 references to this place called hell in the New Testament alone. What I'm telling you is simply this tonight. Hey, listen, 70 of them were given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus preached on hell a lot more times than He ever did heaven. It may be a disputed subject around some folks, but it is a definite subject according to Jesus Christ. Amen. As we look at the Scriptures right here tonight, we find that there's two main characters right here in the Scriptures, in this account that the Bible gives. The Bible says in verse number 19, there was a certain rich man. Let's stop right there just a moment. And I'm sure y'all already know this. But this is not a parable, okay? This is not a parable. This is a real, live, true story. I don't even like to call it a story. It's a real, live, true account of something that really happened. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, it's not. It didn't just happen years ago. It's still happening right now. Amen? It's still happening right now. This is a real live account of what really... How you know? Well, number one, because Jesus never used a person's name anytime He taught a story to relay a biblical truth. He never used anybody's... He used Lazarus right here, but not only Lazarus. Look what He said. He said there was a certain... rich man. That means He's not talking about the rich man down the street. He's not talking about the rich man that lives across the road. There is a particular rich man that He's talking about. There's a certain rich man. And then look what He says. There's a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And then there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. We see right here, there's two characters right here in the Scriptures. Hey, we see that they live two different lifestyles. Hey, there was this rich man. Man, he wore the finest threads money could buy. He lived in the finest house money could buy. The Bible even says that he had a gate around his house. But then there was this certain beggar named Lazarus. The Bible says that he begged for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. They lived two different lifestyles, but not only did they live two different lifestyles, they died two different deaths. What's your Bible? It says right here in verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Not only did these two men live two different lifestyles, but they died two different deaths. And not only did they die two different deaths, but they went two different directions. See, the rich man was carried into Abraham's bosom. Lazarus was carried into Abraham's bosom. The rich man was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Oh, friends, I want to tell you something tonight. Hell is a reality. Hell is a real place. Hell is real. And men and women, boys and girls are going there every single day. I want to give you about three things tonight by way of the message. I want to give you three things tonight. I like to try to have everything. Whenever I get ready to make a decision about something, and there may be somebody here tonight that's never trusted Christ as your Savior. There may be somebody here tonight that's never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never called out to Almighty God for salvation. Hey, listen to me tonight. This will be the greatest decision you'll ever make. It's a matter of life or death for all eternity. Not just for this life, but for all eternity. Amen. It's the greatest decision. Hey, listen, I understand, man, making a decision about who you're going to marry, man, that is a big, big decision. Big decision. Man, I understand. Hey, some of you young folks, man, you're coming of age, man. You're getting ready to make a decision about where you're going to go to college at, if you're going to go to college, where you're going to work at, what you want to be when you grow up. Hey, listen, those are all big decisions. Listen to me. The greatest decision that you'll ever make will be what you decide to do with Christ. Amen. It'll be what you decide to do with Christ. Listen to me. Whenever I get ready to make a decision, I like to try to gather all the facts, right? We like to try to gather as much information as we can about the subject so we can make an informed decision. Hey, more than one time I've just went out and made a decision. Man, I've messed up big time. Amen. Don't raise your hand. I know you have to. And listen to me. But I learned from that. I like to try to gather the facts. Amen. I want to give you some facts tonight as we look at the scriptures right here in Luke chapter 16. Number one, what's your Bible? The Bible says this. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Watch this next phrase right here in verse number 22. The Bible says, and it came to pass. Hey, did you know that every person sitting in this building right here tonight, one day it's going to come to pass? It's going to come to pass. I want to tell you tonight, hey listen, there is a time factor involved here. There is a time factor involved. Hey, the Bible tells us that what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then does what? Vanishes away. Listen to me. You might be saying, preacher, I got my whole life to live ahead of me. You sure do. But how long is it? Is it that long or is it that long? How long is it? Hey, listen to me tonight. There is a time factor involved. One of these days, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but one of these days your heart's going to beat for the very last time. One of these days you're going to take your very last breath on this side of eternity. Hey, listen, you're going to step on that side of eternity somewhere. Heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. Listen to me tonight. There is a time factor involved. Oh, preacher, I got years. I'm young. I don't know, friend. Let me just put it to you like this. We've traveled all over the country during this time of, I don't know what you call this time, man. Craziness, I guess. They call it a pandemic. But a lot of businesses have even shut down. They've had to shut down completely. They're not open anymore. They're not going to open back after all this is over the day after the election. It's just, hey, listen. There's a lot of businesses shut down. Back in 2008, 2009, 2000, all the way up about 2014, 2015, during that depression time. Man, there's a lot of businesses shut down during that time. But you know one business I ain't never seen with a padlock on the doors? I've never seen a for sale sign on a funeral home. You know why? Because they're waiting on us to die. Hey, listen, those doors ain't open because of those folks that died last week. Those doors are open because they're waiting on me and you to die. They know it's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. One of these days, it's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. Oh, preacher, I got my whole life to live. Oh, no, listen. It could come to pass before you get out them doors. Oh, preacher, I've heard that before. Preacher, you can't prove that. You can't prove me wrong either. There's been a lot of people woke up in the morning time, kissed their wife or kissed their husband goodbye, said, honey, I'll be home for dinner. And never made it home. A lot of people. One day it's going to come to pass. Listen to me, I don't care. Hey, listen, you could have went to the doctor last week and got a clean bill of health. It can still come to pass today. Listen to me. One day it's going to come to pass. There is a time factor involved. You don't have much time. It's going to come to pass. Amen. It's going to come to pass. Oh, listen, you don't know, but what the very thing that might take you to your grave could be flowing through your veins right now. And you don't even know it. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare me. No, I wish I could. I really wish I could. But I can't. There is a time factor involved, but what's your Bible right here? Look what the Bible says. The Bible says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was buried by the angels and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Not only is there a time factor involved, but there is a torment factor involved. You see that S on the end of that word right there? Now, I went to public school. I didn't have the luxury of being homeschooled. But I remember they told us in public school that anytime there's an S on the end of one of them words, that means there's more than one. My wife's back there doing like this, saying, good job, honey. That means there's more than one. Now listen, I don't know all that entails. I really don't. Hallelujah, man, I ain't got to find out either. Amen. There's an S on the end of that, but that means there's more than one. Again, I don't know all that entails, but I believe the Bible does give us some insights into a few things right here. Look and see what it says. There's some torments right here. He says, I'm tormented in this flame. Look at this right here. Look, see what it says. Hey, listen. Right in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. Could one of the torments of hell be the very fact that you can still see? You can look around and you'll be able to see those people. You'll be able to see your family members. You'll be able to see those folks that you work with. Hey, those folks that you went down there to Walmart and shopped with. Could that be one of the torments of hell? The very fact, hey, listen, he saw Abraham. To look around and see the people that you had the opportunity to influence. But now it's too late. Now it's too late. Not only that, look what he says. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Hey, listen, he can feel. Those flames are licking his body. He's crying out. He's in torments. Oh, by the way, did you know that he's still down there today crying out? Send somebody! I lost one drop of water! Do y'all understand how much one drop of water? Pastor, is this your water right here? Can I have it? One drop of water Y'all see that? One drop. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been so dried out that I said, baby, go in the house and get me a drop of water. Never. Do y'all grow a garden up here? Man, when we lived in North Carolina, I used to grow a garden every year. My wife says I grew a field, but I grew a garden every year. And y'all know how humid and hot it is back east. I'd work in that garden, and I'd get dried out. And I have seen the times where I could drink a whole gallon of water. But never one time have I told my wife to go get me one drop. I'm talking, he is in torments. Torments. Those flames are licking his body. Listen, he can feel, he can taste. Could that be some of the torments of hell? Listen to me. He is carrying on a conversation in hell. Could one of the torments be the very fact that you're going to carry on? Not only are you going to see your neighbors, see your family, but maybe they're going to ask you, how come you sat in church all these years and never got saved? How come you never told them about Jesus? Oh, you said you was a Christian. Why didn't you tell me? Not only that, look at what Abraham said. He said, son, remember. One of the torments of hell be the very fact that, hey, listen, if you die without Christ and that's where you're going to spend eternity, could one of the torments be the very fact, hey, listen, that you're going to remember for all of eternity, hey, listen, the number of times you sat in a Baptist church and you've heard the man of God preach the gospel and you've heard the Sunday school teacher give the gospel. And you're going to remember time and time again having stepped over the blood of Christ right outside the doors. You'll remember time and time again, hey listen, for all of eternity, having stepped over the blood of Jesus completely out of the will of God into hell. I'm telling you, there's a time factor involved. You ain't got much time. We ain't got much time. How many of y'all believe the Lord's getting ready to come back? I believe it. I believe it. They sang that song, Jesus is coming soon. I don't know about soon, but I know He's coming quickly. Amen. I believe He's coming soon. I also believe He's coming quickly. I don't believe, hey listen, you ain't got much time. And if He don't come back today, you might take your last breath today. There's a time factor involved. There is a torment factor involved. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. I told you a while ago, not only did this happen in the past, but He's still there today. This is present tense. He's still there right now. There is a time factor involved. There's a torment factor involved. What's your Bible right here? The Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. In other words, the rich man said, okay, if you're not going to send him to get some water and cool my tongue, send him to my father's house. What's this? For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this horrible place, lest they also come into this place of torment. There is a time factor involved. There's a torment factor involved. Well, listen to me now. There's also a testimony factor involved right here. You see what he says? He said, send him to my father's house that he may, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them. Wait a minute now. How did the rich man know what Lazarus was going to say? How did he know Lazarus could testify? You remember what the Bible says? He was laid at the rich man's gate. Every day. They come. Somebody had to care. He was laid there every day. Could it be that every time the rich man walked out his front door, walked out that gate, could it be that he had heard Lazarus testify? How did he know Lazarus could testify? I think he probably heard it before. I think he'd heard it before. Oh, listen to me. If you wind up spending eternity in hell, I've already said it one time, I'm just going to reiterate it right here. You're going to remember the testimony when the man of God preached Christ crucified, buried in a borrowed tomb, rose again the third day. Hallelujah, he's alive. For your sins. Listen to me now. There's a testimony factor involved right here. The rich man heard it. Not only did he hear it, look what he said. Look what he said right here. He said this. He said, but I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. How did he know what Lazarus is going to preach to them? How did he know what Lazarus is going to say to them? How did he know Lazarus is going to go to his five brethren and say, you better repent? How did he know? He'd heard it. Listen to me. Time's short. Ain't much of it left. There is a time factor involved. Listen. There's a torment factor involved. There's a testimony factor involved. I'm here to tell you tonight, there is a hell. I'm testifying to you right now. There is a hell. Real people go there. And you don't have to. Amen. You don't have to. Stop right here. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. The rich man did not go to hell because he was a bad person. The rich man never went to hell because he killed three people and run around on his wife. The rich man did not go to hell because he was a drunk. The rich man didn't go to hell because he smoked cigarettes. You know why he went to hell? Because he was lost. Because he was born a sinner just like you and I. Because over in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Because of one man's sin, all were made sinners. We were born sinners. We're not sinners because of what we do. We do what we do because we were born sinners. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, listen, if you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, you were born a sinner. That's just how you was born. Your mom and daddy can't help it. You can't go to heaven on your mom and daddy's coattail. The preacher can't help it. I can't help it. Listen. Your brothers and sisters can't help it. Your aunts and uncles can't help it. That's how you was born. We inherited that sin nature. But then John 3:16, and I know everybody quotes it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Hey, listen. But God commendeth His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a hell. Hell is real. It's a real place. You don't have to go if you put your faith and trust in the one that suffered, bled, and died on that hill called Mount Calvary, was buried in that barred tomb, raised again that third day for your and my justification. Listen, He paid the debt that you and I could not pay. He also paid the debt that He didn't owe. Amen. We owed that debt. We were the one sinners. He became sin for us. You may have never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Why not do that tonight? If God has spoken to your heart tonight, I wouldn't walk out that door without having trusted Christ as my Savior. You may not make it home. You can't prove it, preacher. You can't prove me wrong. I know you've heard it before. But one day, it's going to come to pass. Father, thank You for the day You've given us. God, thank You for the service we had this morning. God, thank You for the service we've had tonight. God, I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, You give us to preach Your Word. God, the opportunity You give us, Lord, to share the ministry, Lord, You've called our family to. Father, I just ask You, Lord, tonight, God, You do what no man can do. God, speak to hearts tonight as only You can. God, I pray, Lord God, that You draw that sinner, God, that may be nearest hell to You tonight. God, I pray You give them the faith, God, to believe You. God, You give them the courage, God, to trust You. Father, we sure do thank You for all You do now. In Jesus' name, as the pastor comes.
Certainly is true. Hell is a very real place. And as he was finishing that last T there that's brought up in those verses, I appreciate you going through those verses about testifying of the reality of it. And it is through the preaching of the Word of God that draws you and pulls you to that place of repentance and faith in Christ. He had talked about how we were made sinners because of Adam. Romans chapter 5 deals with that, but there's a great, great, great verse in that chapter. It says, so by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That obedient one was Jesus Christ, the only one that lived the perfect life. And just like we became sinners because of Adam and his sin, we become righteous because of the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ. The whole reason he was here at this earth was to save you from judgment and that very real place called hell. And if you will come to Him in repentance and faith, it's not this church, it's not baptism, it's not your good works, it's not some car accident that God saved you from, it is repentance and faith in Christ alone. He is the one that makes us righteous. He gives us His righteousness. Say, Pastor, I need that. I hear the message tonight in the reality of hell. I need it. I need to turn to Christ. If that's you, please, just raise your hand. Let me acknowledge you and put it back down. Just raise your hand where I can pray for you. Put your hand up and then put it back down. Let me see it, and you can put it back down. Anybody here like that at all? Just raise your hand and put it back down. A couple of small children. So I say, if you raise your hand, I have not seen it yet. Just put your hand up and put it back down. Let me pray for you. Anybody here? All right, Christian. The reality of hell should change us. To increase the responsibility that we have with the gospel. We are a debtor. It does press the urgency of our message. We are the ones who have the truth. You are the one who has the answer. If the Lord spoke to your heart, you come and pray here this evening. Father in heaven, bless His invitation, work in hearts and lives. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.